test run. Sound check, 1, 2, 3. All righty, we'll call the Zone 3 Advisory Committee for July 18th to order. We could have a roll call, please.
Member Seacrest?
Here.
Member Rushing?
Here.
Member Guthrie?
There you go.
Member Gibson? Member Hagman?
Present.
Member Tally? And Member Riley?
Here.
Thank you, David. Now's the time for public comment for any items that are not on the agenda. Do we have any members of the public want to comment? Seeing none.
You know what, I wanted to just bring up something for public comment just real quick. It was brought to my attention this morning. Our water quality lab thought we should just bring it to your attention that there'll be caution signage going up at Lopez Lake due to the blue-green algae. It's a little hard to see on here with the numbers. They're a little blurry. But what this essentially is showing, I know that's really hard to see. Our intakes 1 through 1 and 2 have really high algae counts, but we're running off at intake 3 and the algae counts are really, really low. So what we're seeing coming into the terminal reservoir is very low at this time. So no concerns right now, but thought we'd bring it to your attention that you, if you get up by the lake, you'll see caution signs for the blue-green algae. So.
And I think we talked about at the TAC meeting, we had started also with some granular activated carbon.
Yeah, we're doing the, the pack is running right now for the taste and odor issues as well, so.
Very good. Thank you, David. Item 3 is officer rotations. And I will maybe turn that over to Dave for just a brief introduction and
on here. Committee chair is rotating from CSA 12 to the ag member, and then committee vice chair is rotating from the ag member to member at large. Today we do not have an ag representative, so our member at large will be conducting the meeting thus far.
So moving forward?
Yep, moving forward.
Do we have to take any action?
I think you guys do have to do a roll call vote on that one to approve.
For officer rotation.
Yeah, for officer rotation. So I'll go ahead with that. For approval, Member Seacrest?
Yes.
Member Rushing?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Hagman?
Yes.
Member Riley?
Yes.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, everybody. Hopefully we have our ag member here next month. So at the last meeting, I will be abstaining from anything on this because I was not at it, but we have minutes that we need to approve. I did want to make one note that I saw Karen Bright listed as Community Services District 12, so we would update that. Anyone else have any comments or questions? Okay. Then I will entertain a motion.
So moved. I'm sorry, move that we approve the minutes, please.
Thank you.
All right, Member Seacrest?
So I apologize, I'm not sure whether I should abstain because obviously I wasn't here. I'm the alternate for—
Yeah, you can abstain, okay. Yeah.
Is three votes gonna be enough?
You need 4 for a quorum.
Yeah. So I think we're going to have to go until...
You know, technically, you can...
Can I?
You can approve minutes if you weren't there, as long as you don't see anything there. So.
And I did read them,
okay.
So yes.
Okay.
So approval pending that correction, right?
Okay.
Okay. Good. In that case, I would second, and then we can roll call.
All right. Member Seacrest?
Yes.
Member Rushing?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Hagman?
Yes.
Member Riley?
Yes. Okay, we have operations reports. We're gonna get a verbal update. Go ahead.
All right, that's my item. Let me go right to the, let me get the plant production numbers and things for you here. All right, so currently the plant flow is at 4.9 MGD. State water flows are at 0.7 MGD. Downstream releases are at 4.1 MGD. Lake elevation is 521.63 feet. Storage is 48,595.2 acre-feet. That puts us at 98.2% capacity, and we have zero rainfall since July 1st. And then I can just kind of roll right down the operations report since these are all mine. This is our Lopez Reservoir Storage Projections chart. We're in the process of making a small memo to kind of go over all the assumptions and how this sheet works. We've gotten a few questions on it from the TAC, and so we're going to provide a little memo that explains where all this data comes from and, you know, why it looks the way it does. You know, you can see under the blue rainfall projections, they're kind of repeating, and that's because we've lost our the site that we use to do rainfall prediction is like no longer available to us, and finding a weather prediction model that actually predicts rainfall that we could plug in to affect this this graph is really hard to do. So we're trying to use some historical rainfall data here for predictions. So we'll get that kind of updated, and so hopefully by the next advisory committee meeting, we'll have an updated memo to explain all these things. So any questions on the projection as of today? Yeah.
I don't know why I'm struggling with that. Why do you think the data is, you're not finding as many companies trying to provide the data for rainfall?
I'm just. Yes.
Is that better? Okay. Why do you think that you're having a hard time finding predictions? I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like to me. Am I misinterpreting?
No, it that is the case, but it's in an inch, right? So you can get rainfall predictions. They'll say that there's this likelihood mm-hmm. of so much rainfall over this next season, yeah. but giving you a month-by-month actual rainfall amount is yeah. really hard to do. No one wants to, you know, predict that, I don't think. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, okay, so if it's hard to do, the companies that, I'm sorry to labor on this, I'm just curious as how they did it before. So the predictors that they were looking at before are changing?
It's the website we were using is no longer producing the data is the problem. So it was this longrangeweather.com, and for whatever reason, they're not providing the data anymore.
Liability?
So, yeah, or at least to us, it's just repeating. You know, I think you can still go on there and see data, but we found that it's just matching year after year.
Right.
So it's no longer a good site. So
do you think there's accurate sites available?
Maybe. We're going to look into it. Yeah. As we kind of revamp this and write that memo, we're going to see what we can do.
I think it's becoming harder to predict, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions on the projections? Jump into the monthly operations report for May and June. As you guys know, the spill lasted a good long time, so you guys got a lot of credits towards your entitlements. So everyone's looking really good right now. I usually don't run down these numbers, but you know, usages to date are in the teens, even though we're already through the first quarter. So I think you guys are tracking really well with as far as your usage goes. Any comments on the ops reports?
Great. And then information items, is that all you two?
Yep. Okay. So just in response to the David Swift report, I know you guys wanted an official response from the TAC. That's still ongoing. I didn't want you to think that it got dropped. So we had some discussion at the last TAC meeting and a little bit of direction for that memo, and I'll start working on that memo. And then I'll circulate that with the TAC members to make sure it's accurate and the message they want to put forward, and then I'll bring that to your guys' group. So hopefully by the next one, I'm hoping. So, but I'll keep you guys updated on it. All right, and then the next item we do have on here, it's the AG Gauge Fish Ladder Project, and we have Steph Walls is here. She was gonna, I think you were gonna present today and just talk to the group, and if you guys have any questions, yeah, feel free to ask. Do you want me to bring up your PowerPoint as well?
Hello, good to see some of you again, although I haven't seen Brad in a very long time, probably 20 years. My name is Steph Wald. I'm Watershed Projects Manager with Creeklands Conservation, formerly known as Central Coast Salmon Enhancement. You might remember that name. And I was with you last time during public comment to give you an update on the stream gauge project. I'm back with a request, a little bit more directed this time. And I'd also like to let you know that our Executive Director, Don Chartrand, is in the audience, as well as a board member, Jude Fletterman. And these two fellows will help me out if I need it when we come to some technical stuff. And so how many have been to the stream gauge in your lives? Never? Some? Okay. This is an incredibly important part of your life as a Zone 3 decision maker and influencer, if you will. And the stream gauge has been a very large part of our organization's life. We've been working on this project for about 15 years. We had it fully funded a number of years ago, and almost fully funded, but fully permitted. And long story short, that process did not move forward. So here we are again, a number of years later, with basically the same design, almost fully funded again. And that's why we're here, for your help. So go ahead and take the next slide. We'll just go back one. So in the background is the tower that used to be used for a physical measuring of the water going by the gauge. Now it's pretty much done by telemetry, as you're probably aware, because you probably helped pay for that. And behind Tim, our hydrologist, is the platform that we are going to be making changes to as a part of the project. Next slide. And Tim is standing on the platform now. The low flow area is behind him, and it's basically a three-sided or three-elevation platform. And we're going to take a chunk out of the concrete and lower the jump height for fish. Next slide. This is what it looked like in that really big storm in January. You can't even see the platform, and unfortunately, the county's tower received some damage during that time. Next slide. Again, during the storms, very high flows. Fish can't make it up then either. High flows and low flows are really target times. Next. And this is what it looked like as the flow is receding from January to February. That black chain fence that I mentioned just a minute ago is what disappeared along the site. And so it's seen a lot of damage. Next. And this is what it looks like downstream of the gauge after the flow is back to basically base flow. Next. And this is what it looked like after the storm damage had receded. So quite a bit of change downstream of the site. The county came in to do some removal of vegetation and basically very large limbs of trees that had come down that could be a danger downstream. So those were taken care of. Next slide. And this is immediately downstream of the gauge, looking downstream. And this is here to give you a sense of the habitat. It's really good fish habitat. There's a lot of good gravels. The banks are reasonably stable. But this is a very incised site. That means it's about 35 feet down from the top of Myrtle Street down to the site itself. And it makes it a very challenging site to do work at. Next slide. And so our project is that we're going to take a section out of the low flow notch and provide over 3 miles of additional habitat and migratory corridor for steelhead. Both adult and juvenile life stages at low and higher flows will be able to pass, and the jump height will be lower and the velocity will be reduced. Next slide. And all of these pieces to the puzzle here in the bullets are part of the construction phase. And I believe this is, well, some of this is in your packet, but I'll go over it. And this is why the project is so important and ready to go right now, which is why I'm here with you today. All of this has been planned for, and we're taking care of best management practices, access to the site, including staging. In fact, right now the CCCs are the California Conservation Corps at the site, preparing for this fall to clear vegetation according to our permits to allow for access for heavy equipment. We'll be Getting those staging areas ready, installing block nets to relocate fish, we'll be installing a diversion. And that is one of the trickiest pieces of this project, is to put that diversion in and have it work properly. Remove any remaining fish and do the dewatering. And by removal, I don't mean dispatch, I mean moving. And getting the site ready with clearing and grubbing, demolishing the concrete, taking the waste off, pouring the concrete, installing an upgraded gauge equipment, which will serve zone 3, and then removing the dewatering devices and revegetating the disturbed areas. So that's the project in a nutshell. Get in, get out, over the course of about 3 weeks. What makes this project so expensive is the fact that it is so incised. And we have to use a crane to lower equipment down into the channel. And so that makes the difference between this project going and not going, is that crane. Next. And so the status of the project, we have all our environmental clearances and permits, 100% design. Bidding is in process, and if you'd like to hear more about the bidding, Jude has been very involved in this project and helping us along with his background and history being the facilities director at Cal Poly. It's been very handy. Is that right? Did I get that right? Yeah. we've raised public funds, but they do, the engineer's cost estimate was under what we have been able to get for a bid. And the budget includes this low flow post-construction rating curve that you all will use and the county staff will use at the station. And so where we sit right now is that the funding gap is almost $300,000 in terms of we've raised $605,000 through public sources. Current bid is at 901, and as I said earlier, the high bid is due to the large crane, the project uncertainty, given the dewatering, the complexity, and on top of that, wonderful rain came, but it's made our project more complicated because the high serpentinous flow create a challenge for that dewatering process. So good news, bad news. Next. Is that it? Okay. So with that, I'm happy to entertain questions. And I would point you to attachments 4 and 5 in your packet in terms of what essentially staff has put together for you to deliberate upon. We really can't speak to any of the legal issues that you all face, but we may be able to speak to some of our preferences, if you will, if it comes to that. So I'll leave it there. And
thank you for that. Any immediate comments or questions from the board? The commission.
Yeah, and I can speak to attachment 4 was our county council's thoughts on how to move the project forward. They gave us, 3 options essentially. Option 1 was the district takes over the project and we bid the project. Option 2 was that we grant additional funding. And then we laid out the path forward to do that. And then option 3, which was if any individual agency wanted to fund it on their own, they can do that as well. And then obviously the responsibility lies on your agency to make sure that all the public bidding and all those requirements are met. So.
Okay, and are we making a recommendation today?
Yeah.
We are?
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of thoughts. Ron, I got just a couple of questions, maybe.
Please do.
So we have a firm bid for $900,000?
Yes.
Okay. But we've got a certain, and that's, I guess, I saw things like uncertainty. The bids are high because of uncertainty in the crane, those types of things. Just some construction thoughts, I guess. Is there a way that, well, I'll stick with that first. In order to maybe reduce that uncertainty, perhaps the project proponent, which I'm not sure who that is at this point, could share some of those risks with the contractor. You know, trying to think of like a time and materials or some sort of a way to, for certain parts of it, to share the uncertainty. You know, we've done that before in projects to get the price looking better, I guess, on paper. And so again, that's just sort of a thought. And I guess the other one is we have high flows this summer, which is making it difficult. If we wait a year, I hate to assume that we won't get as much rain as we got this year, but statistically, 3 years in a row would be a homer, I don't know what it would be, hitting for the cycle, I guess. But is that, do our permits expire though if we wait another year and try to do it next fall?
We have been thinking about that. And we have been in touch with our funders to make sure that we can extend their funding.
Yeah.
Permits are okay.
Permits
I think
are okay.
The Army Corps will take this out to 2026 because anything can happen over the course of time, and they want to make sure that those things get included in future consultations. So I think we're okay with the funding that we have and
yeah.
with the permits that we
with
have.
With the permit stuff. So again, but it's a little bit of a
yeah, and
roll
in terms of
the dice.
Of waiting, it increases in expense because we're
sure.
still putting staff time into it.
Inflation, et cetera,
right.
So there's always that
right.
side
and
of it.
And we would prefer to get it done so that we're done.
Yeah.
But
totally
I want to give Jude a chance to talk about the bidding process because I think it's important for you to have that.
Yeah.
Thank you. My name is Jude Flutterman, and as was mentioned, my background, I ran projects, almost $1 billion worth at Diablo Canyon for 33 years, and then went to Cal Poly and did facilities work and worked contracts there as well. And so the process that we followed in this project was pretty much the same exact process that you would follow as a state entity. The wage rates and all of those requirements we put into the bidding process when it went out to bid, had a bid lockdown, had it was either between 7, 8, or 9 contractors interested during that walkdown. But the complexity of the project and some of those locations, crane time, experience in this particular type of work, right, proved that we ended up with 2 bidders. So to answer your other question on reducing risk and clarifying some of those issues, we did go back after we went through 2 phases of this, and we did go back. We talked to the engineers on potential scope reductions, potential changes in philosophy on how we do some of the specific areas or some of the specific requirements for them, validated all of those, did some additional walkdowns to try to get a picture of can we potentially access via vehicles instead of the crane time, right? All of those kinds of things. Can we reduce the size of the crane? Can we move the crane to a different position instead of on the street, for example, which is the way it is has to be right now, with a very large crane, by the way. And so we went through, answered all of those questions, got the design questions answered, provided that information to the interested bidders, and went through a second process. And that process did not result in a reduction. It ended up in a reduction on one side and an increase on the other side. So we did go through, to your point, exactly that process to try to reduce some of those risks, answer some of those questions. The actual work that is going on right now takes away some of, gives us a better visual of exactly what it looks like, especially on the dewatering process piece, because it has been so thick down there. If you went to the site, you would see, you can't really tell what the area around the project, especially upstream is, which was where they have to do all their work, until some of that is removed. And I was just there this morning, the Conservation Corps, as was mentioned, is in the process of doing that work right now. They're probably 50%, 40% complete as we speak. That will add some clarity, but whether or not that will actually reduce end cost, that's a different story. Any other questions for me while I'm up here?
Maybe just from a logistical standpoint. So it, as mentioned, vary in size. So I'm trying to envision there's space for a diversion dam of some sort, and then you're gonna have biologists down there trying to find fish and and divert them. Is there space to operate in there? I mean.
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Once it is cleared out, the challenge, this was mentioned before, the challenge on the diversion is really, there's really only one place to run that pipeline,
mm-hmm.
diversion,
mm-hmm.
and we're using gravity,
mm-hmm.
And that is versus pumping,
mm-hmm.
For various reasons.
Yeah.
Making sure you have the right flow rates, the size of the pipe. You mentioned the rain and the current flows down there, which are somewhere in the 4 to 5 CFS range.
Mm-hmm.
The only real impact of that is larger pipe diameter.
Okay.
Right. You still have to run it the same way.
Right.
You have to do most of the other things. It's really not. It provides a little more challenge.
Sure.
Just with the pipe size, but not from a tactical standpoint of exactly how you have to run that diversion dam.
Okay. And then when I'm looking at these options before us, David, if I'm understanding correctly, you bid it with prevailing wage rates.
We did.
Okay. Okay. And so, like in option one, David, where it says disadvantage, increased costs, and potential project delays, are we talking about the increased cost of prevailing, which it sounds like they've accounted for?
For option one, it's, you know, once we take it over, then we would have to, I think the idea was that we would have to rebid the project, and so then you're dealing with all the staff time and overhead for county staff.
Yeah. Additional soft costs.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Please do.
Yep.
For option one, we do not have all the data we need to say you can have the money.
Sure.
We have to go back to the funders, and I have no idea if that is going to be on the table or not.
Okay.
So I just wanted you to have that clarity to help you discern.
Thank you. Has TAC reviewed this and had any input?
They did not have any input. I provided the talking points that Steph had provided and sent them, and we talked about potential options. And mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, they didn't really have any comment.
Okay.
So.
That's a first. I actually support option two, and I support the bridging that gap. This is important to the health of our waterways in this county, and this group works on basically nothing, just the wanting to correct the situation. So I think this falls under what we do here. So that's my opinion.
Can I make a comment? Please, bro.
Thank you. I'm Don Chartrand. I'm the executive director of Creeklands Conservation, and thank you for that comment. I just sort of want to encourage more thinking like that from the board or from the advisory committee here for a couple of reasons. Number one, we've been preparing for this for a very, very long time. We've had a lot of public funding and taxpayer investment in this project. It is important, of course, to this particular interest group, but really to the whole watershed. We have the team assembled right now on staff that is exactly the right team to do this in terms of understanding the biological, the hydrological, the permitting, the funding, et cetera, the planning. We have a kind of a secret weapon on our board here who's actually able to guide us through some of the difficulties of a complex, expensive project. It's going to be tough for us to come back from having to delay this, so I'm encouraging careful consideration of option two.
And David, when it says district grants additional funding to Creeklands, do we know where we would pull that from?
So you have two options. We have district designated reserves. You guys, I think, are all aware there's currently $608,000 in that account. That money, once it's used, it's gone. It does not replenish. And then you have $2.2 million in reserves currently, and that puts you, our county policy is to hold about 50% of our operating expenses in reserves, and that number comes right out to between 45 and 48% of your operating reserves. So we have not been funding reserves because they've been held so high or close enough to the mark. So you're sitting okay as far as your reserves go.
So if we draw down another $300,000-ish, We're still above 40% reserves, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Does the district designated reserves is in addition to the 2.5?
Correct. Or yeah, is, correct.
So we're about 3.1
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know those are.
So I'm sorry, which would it come from?
So that's your choice to make
right.
today. If you do decide to, go with option two and grant them the money, then you would also vote to decide where that money comes from. So you would decide whether it's coming from district designated reserves or the operating reserves. So you could do a combination, yeah. Yep.
Okay, if we're going to arrive at a decision today, I'm caution against complexity. Marsha appears to be ready to support two.
Yeah.
Where do you have any preference where it would come from? Okay.
Hey, Ron. Our
yes.
division manager, Nola Engelskirter.
Hi.
I just wanted to point out one thing. When you're voting, this is an advisory committee, so you're just recommending to the district that they make that budget adjustment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then does that need to go to the Board of Supes?
That would go to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, timing-wise, thinking about the time, that another
yeah,
4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah, and you're looking at the option two, we have to make some amendments to the MOU and things like that, so that would all be taken to the Board at the same time. So.
But likely, if the advisory committee supports, we've got the other main players,
yeah.
Board of Supes would likely be
likely,
okay with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In spite of the fact that it's an election year, right?
Okay, so I'm going to work through process of elimination. I'm going to say that option three, I don't see any zone three members shouting that they want to individually contribute at this time. So we're looking at option one and option two. Does anyone have a preference on where we recommend money comes from if we select option two?
I guess my question in regards to the two different reserve funds, obviously the district designated reserve funds are one-time use. That's not getting replenished. But if memory serves, in past meetings, we've had conversations that those funds are exactly for unplanned crazy things that we're not anticipating. And the fact that that would not adjust the percentages that are hanging out in our general reserves at this point. So I'm fine with either, and I'm fine with option two, but I'm leaning more toward the district designated reserves.
I would agree, just from what I understand. So option two.
Okay. And I think I would lend support to what Dan said in that the $600,000 that we have put away is more for something we didn't see coming, right? So, and this has been going on for some time. Okay, does anyone want to make a motion then? Sounds like we're moving in the right direction. Anybody?
I have just one
yeah.
more question. Mm. I think we talked about the TAC. This year we did not spend any money on cloud seeding.
Correct.
And those funds?
They'll just roll over.
Roll over.
Yeah.
So, are they sloshing around in a bathtub somewhere? Are they part of the $2.5 million?
They're not part of the $2.5 million. That's separate. So, yeah.
Of our CIP program.
Correct. Correct. The 2.2 is just your operating reserves.
Okay.
Yeah.
So could we use?
Potentially, I'd have to look at the budget.
We'd have to change the budget, though, probably,
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah, we're still going to have to change the budget and do a budget adjustment
yeah.
To the board.
I guess the other way to do it would be to use the reserves and then use the cloud seeding money to go back into the reserve pot.
Yeah, we could do that.
It might
that,
be an easier
that would probably be the
math exercise and
fastest
staff.
Path forward, yeah. yeah.
Okay,
fastest,
good.
Yeah,
sure. I like Ron's
yeah.
idea of
yeah.
keeping it simple, though.
Yeah,
I would make a motion then that we fund. I'm somewhat inclined to split the baby in half, but I think that it's maybe more confusing, so maybe we just take it out of the operational reserves, or my motion would be to take it out of the operational reserves.
Okay, and just so I'm clear, you guys want to do the out of the 2.2 million operational reserves is where you'd like to take the money from, not the 605,000 out of district. So we have the district designated reserves is the one that does not replenish.
Right.
Do you want to take it out of that one, or do you want to take it out of operating reserves, which is 2.2 million is in that one? I just want to be really clear which one we're voting on.
My sense is that the consensus of the board would be to out of the operational reserves.
Correct.
Okay.
But I'm subject to
correct.
Persuasion.
And then before we take a second, go ahead.
Peter Brown with OCSD, and I'm actually on the TAC as well. The TAC, in my recollection, did discuss this. I don't know that we had no comment. There was a discussion about, the sensitivity that we have to how Lopez is operated and the importance that it has for drinking water. Not that we're not certainly concerned about habitat conservation, but the primacy certainly relates to water availability. And to that, Mr. Spiegel, maybe you could talk a little bit about the general purpose of operating reserves and what those are for. That might help the committee with their determination as to a recommendation to the funding source.
Yeah, sure. The operating reserves are, they're set aside, they're set aside for operational purposes, for increases to water treatment costs, delivery costs, that sort of thing, or additional staff time to, deliver your projects, that kind of, or to deliver operational tasks. So that's where it would be coming from. If there was significant increases of cost to chemicals, let's say, or, other, tank replacements. We did this in the past, right? We borrowed $520,000 from you guys from reserves to fund the chemical tank replacement, which we did this last year. So it's items like that is typically what we hold those reserves for, is the operational aspects of Zone 3. Yeah.
Well, with that additional information on the definition of those reserves, I'm kind of going back to the district operation, to the district destination reserves.
Me too.
Well, it sounds like it's more appropriate to take it.
Okay.
Thanks for that clarification.
Sure.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll amend the motion.
I would revise or amend the motion
to
come out of the district designated reserves.
All right.
I would second that.
Okay, we gonna do a roll call?
Yep,
okay.
Roll call vote. Member Sechrest?
Yes.
Member Rushing?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Hageman?
Yes.
Member Riley?
Yes.
And I know we jumped forward a little bit to the action item there, so I can just roll back if anybody has any other questions before we move on just to the project updates. All right, so fire flow tank replacement, there is no change at this time. There was a thought at one time that we might receive ARPA funds to help fund the offset that we didn't have or the shortfall that we had. So no change right now. We're still moving forward with our design plans and getting it shovel ready. And then once it's fully funded through the normal budget process, we'll replace that tank. Membrane modules, no change right now. We're still building up more budget to replace the last two racks. The spillway assessment investigation, the work plan has been approved by DSOD, and we're looking at getting up on the spillway and doing some ground penetrating radar inspections, as well as installing a new piezometer at one of the counter fort sections. The geotechnical testing and seismic alternative study, that is being submitted to DSOD for review. The final draft report is ready for review for DSOD. There was some signs of liquefiable material below that dam, and so we will see what DSOD's recommendations are moving forward. There was some additional analysis that was needed to fully quantify that material, so we're just waiting to see if DSOD agrees with our consultants' recommendations. the cathodic protection repair project. Construction on that one is currently complete. We did see that there was a break in our continuity at one section. We're looking to dig that section up and fix it and make sure that we have continuity in the pipeline. Otherwise, it's working very well. The impressed current's working very well through sections 1 and 3. So we're kind of wrapping that one up once we get that location repaired. Our DAF building repairs is still ongoing, still trying to get multiple quotes for that one. And then in the recent past here, our completed projects were, we just finished the sludge bed curtain wall rehab to fix the leaking sludge bed. Chemical tanks have been repaired. The flip bucket's been repaired. That was on this main spillway, that was a FEMA project. The bathymetric study has been completed and our CO2 injection system is complete. We are also looking to move forward with the, which is not on this list, another FEMA project here in August. It was the Lopez Terminal Reservoir had a breach at the back. So we're looking at clearing additional materials out of the perimeter channel as well as repair that breach. And that's a FEMA project as well. So any questions on the projects?
Sure. The FEMA ones was from the January 23 storms?
Yeah, correct. It was the January and March storms.
Okay. And then for the cathodic protection with the break, is that on us or is that on the contractor?
It's on us, actually. It looks like there was a, after talking to op staff, it looks like there was a potentially a valve that had been removed in that location and a bonding strap had not been replaced when we put the little pipe, pup piece in there. So the stationing, correlates with that location. So we're going to go probably do some potholing and see if we can verify whether or not there's a bonding strap. So
significant.
I think the cost should be pretty minimal the $5,000 to $10,000-ish.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking anytime we have to dig stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah. Shouldn't be too terrible.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And I should mention, there is still additional funds in the cathodic protection repair project, so we didn't max out the budget on that, so it's still budgeted, yeah. Any other questions?
I don't have any.
All right.
Anybody? Okay, terrific. Okay, thanks for the update, David. Action items, do we have any?
The action items are not for time.
We've already kind of taken them, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So any future agenda items anyone would like to bring forward?
No.
No? Okay. Any committee member comments?
No.
I guess I will just make the one comment that when we're going to make a recommendation to make an expenditure like that, it will probably, if we could get more of a heads up is all.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a lot to take in and make a decision today. I know that we're not deciding to spend it, we're just making a recommendation, but yeah. Okay, terrific. Okay, I think other than that, we can call a meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.